are two selves, the separate ego and the indivisible Atman. When one rises above I and me and mine, the Atman is revealed as one's real self. That was a quote from the Katha Upanishad, talking about the Atman. We're featuring this word today on this episode of The Afterlife in 8 Words, a podcast written and produced by students at Smith College. Hi, I'm Arushi, and I'm joined by Bethany and Hazel. We're your hosts for this episode. Our podcast investigates the ways in which religious traditions have conceived of an afterlife or a transformed existence that transcends this mortal life. And we do so in each episode by looking at one word that encapsulates a particular tradition's understanding of the afterlife.
Today, we're looking at the afterlife in Hinduism, and we're doing so through looking at a key word in this tradition, Atman.
Since this is a pretty intricate term, could you give us a little more detail on what Atman means?
Absolutely. Atman is translated from Sanskrit as the self, but just as in English, the term self can function grammatically as a simple reflexive pronoun or take on various physical or spiritual connotations. For instance, in English, when you talk about self, you could mean myself, literally you and your body, or you could mean the self, a more metaphysical concept, maybe more analogous to a soul. The Atman is similar, but in Hinduism, the concept of Atman is fluid in different ways and can sometimes vary based on which school of Hindu thought you belong to. In the Katha Upanishad, the Atman is described as a concept that is revealed as one's true self. The Upanishads are a later Hindu text that came after the Vedas. In the early Vedas, Atman was mainly a grammatical term as a reflexive pronoun to mean oneself, but the Upanishads expanded upon this as meaning. The writers of the Upanishads chose to renounce worldly goods and understood their purpose as to spend their lives in search of self-understanding and freedom through spiritual discipline. This meditative way of life planted the seeds for the richer sense of self modern Hinduism knows of the Atman to become clear through the Upanishads.
What are some of the ways that the concept of Atman can differ between schools of thought? Does it always stay the same?
Sometimes the Atman is interchangeable with the Purusha, which is used to refer to the state of pure consciousness. This is mostly seen in classical philosophical systems. Another interesting facet of the intertwining of language with religion is that Purusha is also the name for the primordial man in Hindu creation legends. But in nearly all Hindu traditions, the Atman is integral to the idea that the self transmigrates and then is after death joined or rejoins, depending on who you ask, into the Brahman, which is the underlying force of all things. As with many, if not all, philosophical concepts, there are some who disagree with the idea of Atman transmigrating and say that it is said attains release from the bonds of existence.
In Buddhism, which you can hear more about in the next episode, we learn about how there is no Atman in Buddhism. Why is this, and how do we compare it to Hinduism?
In Buddhism, it is taught that the misconception that there is an Atman, an everlasting or permanent soul that exists in reality, is the root of all suffering. So instead, there is the teaching of non-self or no self. This can get confusing to outsiders, since both Hinduism and Buddhism have a belief in reincarnation. But in Buddhism, it is your energy flowing rather than your Atman or self being reincarnated. Buddhist rebirth is a causal process, with your next life having dependence on your actions in previous lives, therefore having a focus on the concept of karma. There is, of course, much debate within Buddhism as to how to describe their process of rebirth, as some worry the description of energy flowing is too similar to the Hindu Atman.
So, how does Atman work as one of the core principles of Hinduism?
The Atman, at its most simple, is the key to achieving self-actualization, as it is one's true self, and the only way out of the wheel of reincarnation is to achieve self-actualization.
Even with this understanding of Atman, are there still some questions we can raise around it and how it differs within sects of Hinduism?
There are so many questions I know I have, which I'm sure some philosophers have spent a lot of time thinking about. One is, how much of one's personality is in the Atman, and how much will be gone when they die? Do different people have different takes on this? And how timeless and long-lasting is the Atman?
There are definitely so many beliefs surrounding this topic. One question that I know is so simple yet so complicated is the connection between the Atman and Brahman.
So for those who do not know, what is Brahman?
That's a good question. To put it simply, Brahman is supreme, everlasting, universal force. It is the ultimate, infinite, and eternal existence without a beginning or an end. It is the source of all creation.
Oh, okay. So it's like an eternal essence.
Exactly.
That makes sense. So what exactly is our connection to Brahman, and how does that tie into achieving self-actualization?
That depends on your interpretation of the Upanishads. In Advaita Vedanta philosophy, Brahman and Atman are one and the same. In this school of thought, everything in the material world is merely an illusion, except for Brahman. The idea is that the cycle of reincarnation continues until you realize this illusion and achieve the realization that every Atman is inherently a part of the Brahman. Once an individual fully realizes this truth, then they will be freed from the illusion of the material world and can be one with Brahman.
That's really interesting. So what are other interpretations?
Another interpretation is the Visvandvaita Vedanta philosophy, which was largely popularized by the philosopher Ramanuja. In this school of thought, the Atman and Brahman are different entities, but the Atman is still largely dependent on Brahman.
So in what way is it dependent?
Well, because Brahman is the main force, the Atman needs it for its formation, existence, and conservation.
But if they're different, then how do we achieve liberation? Does the Atman still become one with Brahman?
No. In this school of thought, because the Brahman and Atman are different, the two do not become one at all. In fact, there isn't a realization per se. Instead, liberation is earned through loyalty, devoutness, and faithfulness to Brahman. This includes worship, acts of service, and developing a relationship. When this closeness is achieved, then the Atman achieves liberation from the world, and the two join together in a sort of marriage or union, but as independent beings.
Does the Atman and Brahman join together in all Hindu philosophies?
Not at all. There are dualistic philosophies which reject the idea that there's any sameness between the Atman and Brahman. In this way of thinking, not only is each Atman a unique entity with respect to each other, they're each completely independent from Brahman as well. Brahman is still the ultimate and supreme, but so much so that it's completely distinct from Atman. But achieving this liberation is very similar to this Advaita Vedanta. Same devotion and faithfulness is required, but even after liberation, each Atman maintains its individuality and remains separate from Brahman.
So it sounds to me that this word Atman brings about a feeling that is so untouchable for us in this physical world. It's almost as if we can never fully understand or be in touch with our divine essence or self. So are there any rituals or practices that can be performed in attempts to possibly connect with our soul?
Yeah. That's a good point you make. It's almost as if our soul is hidden from reach, and it's hard to think about possibly connecting with this intangible entity. However, there are actually many different rituals and practices in Hinduism that allow individuals to possibly connect with the Atman.
That's super interesting. Can you give us some examples of these rituals or practices?
Sure. So one of the most widely spread and well-known practices to connect with the Atman comes from India and is yoga. It is also the term for one of the six major philosophical schools of classical Hinduism. The term yoga comes from the root yuj, to yoke or join. It means the union of the individual spirit or soul with the universal spirit. And yoga, in its broadest sense, is used to control the senses and ultimately the mind, and is mentioned frequently in ancient Hindu texts like the Rig Veda and Katha Upanishad. The theory and practice of yoga were developed largely by the renunciant movement that produced the Upanishad.
So it's almost as if yoga provides a sense of stillness and relaxation in the body to allow you to connect with your soul.
Exactly. And when the mind is focused and concentrated using the practice of yoga, you are able to connect with the Atman, which is an extremely powerful and fulfilling experience. And actually, this idea of total stillness to connect with your soul is also illustrated in other ancient philosophical works. A nice example which eloquently describes this phenomena of how widespread the school of philosophical thought was comes from the Book of Plato. Surely the soul can reason best when it is free of all distractions, such as hearing or sight or pain or pleasure of any kind. That is, when it leaves the body to its own devices, becomes as isolated as possible, and strives for reality while avoiding as much physical contact and association as it can.
That's beautiful and reminds us all that yoga is more than just a series of poses. It is a form of independence and freeing from the distractions of the physical world. In addition to yoga, can you tell us a bit more of some other practices related to the Atman?
Yes, another very prominent practice in Hinduism is called puja. Puja can be deeply spiritual and is often used to celebrate or worship a particular deity. It is almost a sacred meditation, and one particular form of puja to purify oneself, honor a deity, and get closer to the Atman is called fire puja.
Wow, before you go on, I was just actually thinking about how connecting with the elements is a really amazing way to be in touch with your body and soul, free from distraction. So it's really interesting to bring up fire.
You're absolutely right. And actually, fire in the context of puja represents qualities like warmth, light, power, and hope. Fire puja is a ritual that consists of a series of offerings to the divine. And focusing on just the fire in the ritual, you're able to forget about yourself. It is said that during fire puja, many fall into a deeply enchanting sense of peace and unity. So this practice helps us to further the connection with our Atman and create a deeper connection with something more than just our physical body.
That's a great and very thorough explanation of this ritual. Thank you very much for sharing. Can you give us some examples of rituals that are practiced in regards to death itself and how in Hinduism one is able to be freed from the cycle of rebirth and death?
Absolutely. So one of the points about death in Hinduism is that you must die a good death. If you die a violent or bad death, you are not able to be freed from the cycle. In some traditions within Hinduism, dying a peaceful death might be enough to guarantee you place in the universe to be freed from the cycle. But in some traditions, this is only a precondition.
Interesting. Do you mind going into some of the details regarding the purification of the body to possibly allow for the connection to the Atman?
Yeah. So after the person has died, there are a series of rituals that the family members and Pundit must perform to return the body essentially back to God, which is seen as one of the most meaningful connections that a human can have with another entity. Some of these rituals include bathing the body, putting symbols on the body, and cremation, all of which allow for the body to be safely returned.
These are all really great points and traditions to mention regarding death in Hinduism. The belief that the soul or Atman is the core of our being and part of something greater than we can ever imagine is comforting and satisfying. To truly reach self-realization and recognize the Atman, you must relinquish all earthly connections. The belief that there is more to our presence than just the physical life we live, and the soul is being reincarnated and hopefully liberated from the cycle of death and life, allows us to avoid our fear of death. Death is only just the beginning. And in the next episode, we will be talking about Buddhism and the idea of samsara. Make sure to tune in. That concludes our episode for today. Special thanks to Dan Bennett and Travis Grandy of the Smith Learning Research and Technology team. And thanks to the Andrew Mellon Foundation that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Our theme music is Lovers in the Night by Lobo Loco, used under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike international license. Tune in next time on The Afterlife in 8 Words. Thank you.
Thank you.